You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Takoto ai te marino te hokinga mai is an exhibition by Raukara Ture, ngā rauru kitahi, taranaki iwi, Ngāti Pāua, Ngāti Tai ki Tāmaki, currently on at Season Gallery. Having first been presented at the Douse Art Museum in Te Awa Kairangi Lower Hutt in 2023, then travelling to the Suda Art Gallery Te Aratoe or Whakatū in Whakatū Nelson this year, the works have now returned to Tāmaki Makaurau, the artist's home and where the works were made. Using pigments such as O Moana, blue clay, O Nepu, black iron sand, and kere whenua, yellow ochre, harvested from sites to which today is tied by whakapapa and whānau history, including Te Tai o Rehua and Te Kapakapa Moana, the works in the show explore and embody connections to atua and tūpuna. I had a kōrero with Raukara about her practice, the materials she sources, the connections her works have to her whakapapa, and the exhibition at Season Gallery. So, Takoto ai te marino was first presented at the Douse Art Museum in Lower Hutt in 2023 and travelled to the Suda Art Gallery in Nelson this year. Now, having returned to Tāmaki, how does it feel to have the show presented back at home?
It's wonderful to have the works back home. They were all made in Tāmaki Makaurau, and all the materials in the works are made with whenua from the various coastlines of Tāmaki Makaurau. And so having them home does feel a bit like a homecoming, and it's the time that I've been able to share them with my whānau, help make them, and they've sort of followed the work for a long time, so it's the perfect audience as well.
100%. And I definitely want to come back to talking about your material and taking from the whenua. But I also wanted to talk about the title of the exhibition. It derives from a horaki iwi whakatauki, Takoto ai te marino, horahia I wahora. What is the meaning and significance of this whakatauki to you?
It's interesting because the meaning of this whakatauki came out over time. I first found it in a textbook written by Korohere Ngāpō that was given to me by my mum, that just had the whakatauki itself, all in te reo, talking about tikapa moana, the abundant source of food for the iwi of Parehauraki, and really known for its beautiful calm waters. And that's as far as I knew to begin with when I titled the work, but I was thinking more about my own connection back to my marae of Umupuia, where my tūpuna came from Taranaki and settled at Kawakawa Bay in Tikapa Moana, but not a place that my whānau were very connected to when I was young. So it was when I had my daughters, I've re-established a relationship with the whānau at the marae at Umupuia and Papakura. And so for me, it was also about me reconnecting with Tikapa Moana, finding my own kind of place of solace and connection there. Earlier this year, Moko, my partner, is a tāmoko artist, and he was invited to, and our whānau was invited to, a Parehauraki wānanga led by Jamie Watson up at Moiho under their sacred maunga in this beautiful bay called Stony Bay, right at the tip of Coromandel. And at that wānanga, I had the opportunity to actually meet Korohere Ngāpō and sit with him while I was supporting Linnae Cable running a kawairaro, Waituhi and Waitai making earth pigment wānanga. And so I thought, oh, this is actually the perfect opportunity to ask him the real meaning of this, or the further meaning of this whakatauaki. And he shared it with me, and he was surprised that someone had actually asked, and he shared it with me in te reo and revealed quite a different... the origin of the whakatauaki has a much kind of darker past relating to, and I kind of won't share too much detail, but relating to the death of one of Parehauraki's rangatira at the time when Hongihika came down. And they used these words of takoto ai te marino to sort of calm and reconnect and ground themselves at a time of, I guess, the end of your life. And so that brought kind of a new wave of meaning to the whakatauaki for me, but it also helped emphasise why I had reached to it in this place of kind of bringing strength, bringing a sense of grounding as I was embarking on reconnecting with this important coastline and with the whānau there.
And your research into Atua Wahine and journey in reconnecting with your whakapapa led you to painting as a tool to connect to your tūpuna. And you've kind of spoken about it a little bit, but what kind of role do your tūpuna play in influencing your work?
So, you know, I didn't grow up with my taha Māori. I grew up, thankfully, through kōhanga reo and through Māori education in my schooling and my parents, especially my mother, who learnt te reo Māori and kept that alive for us at home, was where my kind of Māori tanga was really grounded. It hasn't been until a little bit, especially since the arrival of my two kōtiro, that I've really felt an honouring of and a wanting to connect with all of the tūpuna whaia, the wahine on my father's Māori side, taha Māori, who, while my dad didn't grow up with him, while we only have snippets of stories from my aunties and cousins who did grow up with or spend time with, for example, my kuia Dorothy, there's been this kind of constant feeling within myself, a kind of, it's quite hard to put in words, but the sense that her journey and her whakapapa exists within me and exists within my own whare tangata, and knowing that there's been such heaviness in my own whakapapa, and that's something that I've not wanted to pass on into my own kōtero, and especially that kind of sense of my identity, my whakapapa, where I'm from. I always wanted that to be something that my girls could completely take for granted. And so further research into my own whakapapa, but also I've used research into Atua Wahine, tikanga around Atua Wahine as a real foundation, as a starting point where in a time of kind of deficit of not necessarily being able to draw from knowledge that was passed down from my tūpuna, Atua Wahine and kōrero around the kaiao is that unwavering, stable place that you can always return to, and the whenua knows your whakapapa, the whenua knows who you are. That was a really powerful place for me to start, and often an easier entry point where there has been a lot of, I guess, grievances in the past that my whānau hasn't been comfortable talking about, and so hasn't always been the easiest space to navigate as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. I wanted to talk about the materials that you use. Some of the primary materials you use are onepu, black iron sand, and kere whenua, yellow ochre, which have been harvested from sites to which your whakapapa and whānau history is tied to. Can you tell me a bit about your choice of material and the landscapes they were harvested from, particularly with this show?
Sure. So this particular show, I've really brought together materials from the two coasts, which I primarily collect. So the Omwana, which is this blue alluvial clay, which I collect from Te Marae o Tai. It's a taonga of Ngāi Tai Ki Tāmaki. It sits just outside of the marae, and a taonga that was shared with me by two of the aunties, Auntie Kate and Auntie Annie, at the marae there. And so we often go and harvest Omwana together. So the blue clay I turn into a kind of thick-based Waitahi paint. And then I've, in this show, I've also brought together kere whenua, which are yellow ochres, which I find on the cliffs out there, and I also find on the cliffs on the west coast of Tāmaki, alongside the onepu, the black sands, which I collect from Te Paiorehua and Te Uru on the west coast. The west coast was the place where my dad grew up and where we spent a lot of time as kids, going to the bush and spending time at the beach, and it's got this real nostalgic kind of charge and a place I just love returning to, and I love taking my kōtiro to as well. So we often, every time we go out there, we come home with a few more buckets of sand of that dark onepu, which is really variable from all the different parts of the coast. along the parts of the West Coast. And so the show has also been an intention to bring Onepu, which relates to Puraka of my kuia, out on the West Coast, where she spent the later part of her life and passed away, and taking that back to our te rangawaewae of the East Coast and marrying those two materials together again.
Beautiful. I guess in relation to your choice of material, texture can be quite a central element to your work, and I was quite curious to know a bit about your process with that. Do you tend to choose material first, or do you have a vision for your work first and then look for material?
I always start with materials. Gathering is the kind of first part of the process. And I gather all parts of the year, but I really love through summer when the weather's really beautiful to spend a lot of time gathering different materials, and that can help inform the direction for the kind of coming month. And also often sort of chance encounters, such as ending up at Wānanga in different places and hearing kōrero or pūrākau about different areas, and then taking the opportunity with the mana whenua of that area to collect various materials also kind of helps to inform some of the kind of next steps in the work. And then once I'm in my studio with various materials and spend time with them, processing them, either grinding them to a kind of fine powder to make paint, or taking a wet slip clay and turning that into a different kind of thicker paint medium, then that helps to inform each work that's going to that I'm going to make next. And I often have quite a few paintings on the go at one time, and I also never kind of fully plan a work at the outset. I let each layer, the multi-layered pieces, each layer inform what the next layer might be. So there's quite an intuitive and quite an organic way in which each work is made. And one piece might then inform how another one plays out, and I might change my mind halfway through the process. It's my kōtiro. She's got a few things to say.
She's a radio star.
Yeah, go girl.
I also wanted to ask, you're also an actor and an architect as well as being an artist. Do you find that your experience and skill sets, experiences from those roles also influence your artistic practice in any way?
I think everything I do feeds into everything else, because it's all just different kind of creative outlets that find different means to express different ideas, and served me wonderfully for a time because of its kind of power to really get out of your skin and explore completely new territory. And I think the acting started to sort of put that aside a little bit as I really dove into painting about 8 years ago, and the painting has just absolutely served the pūrākau and rangahau that I'm doing at the moment, and it just feeds my soul so much that it's kind of taken over as my completely chosen form of creative expression at the moment. And I'm still practicing as an architect. I'm finding more and more how the two relate, less so in any visual or kind of direct aesthetic output, but more in the content of the spaces that I'm working, especially around because of my architectural space, I'm working on projects that often benefit our wahine Māori, our Māori communities, or working with iwi. Yeah. Definitely go out and check out the show at Season. I'm so proud of what Francis and Jade have created at Season Gallery, and the incredible support that they have for emerging and established Māori artists especially, and the quality and care that they put into the artists and the shows that they deliver. So it's just been a blessing to be able to show with them. And I look forward to more things in that show. Hey, Bubby.
She wants to talk. That was artist Raukara Ture speaking to me about her practice in Takoto Ai Te Marino Te Hokinga Mai, an exhibition of hers currently on at Season Gallery until the 23rd of November.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.